What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 2nd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Yes, I am back. I had to travel on Friday and on Monday. Also, I had to do a babysitting emergency on Thursday. So I'm so sorry for the delayed podcast and everything. It's been a very busy year. But we have to talk about yesterday because we have Luis Morales in the difficult choice Moralesis. You get it? The difficult choice Morales is choice paralysis. Okay. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. 12 whiffs, 32% CSW in a win in St. Louis. He's a pitcher for the Athletics. He throws really hard, 97 mile per hour, 4 seamers, but it isn't really good shape at all. It's not good extension. It's not good movement. It does have 1.5 height adjusted VAA though. Morales doesn't go upstairs with it. I mean, he tries to a little bit. He doesn't have good command. He has control-ish. And it's kind of interesting to see the one whiff he got on 49 four-seamers was down and away to a right-hander at 99. However, that velocity, if he's able to not allow all this damage on that four-seamer, well, it really sets up the secondaries, the big sweeper and this rare slider. They earned a lot of whiffs combined, and we had 4 out of 8 whiffs alone on the slider. The sweeper had a 52% CSW. We saw a beautiful 90-mile-per-hour changeup also to a lefty at 90 miles per hour. You can see how this works. And the good news here is that Morales goes into the Angels territory for his next start, so not Sacraverde. Then he gets the Reds carpet, the one time he's got to pitch in Sacramento. And then he goes to Pittsburgh. So you avoid Sacraverde for the starts you don't want it, and the one where you might want it, you get it. That seems like something that's worthwhile for you with this kind of velocity. He is getting enough control. Yes, the fastball is susceptible. Yes, he does have some hang sliders and sweepers, but it does seem like he's good enough to make this work. And that is a 19-inch horizontal bend sweeper. That is a big boy. So fun to see that with Morales. Also, it's fun to see you guys subscribing to PL Pro to help win your championships. Even if it's just for a month right now, you will get my full sit and start grid that's updated daily for 2 weeks in advance, as well as also getting our pro tools like rolling charts for process plus the number one hitting metric to assess a player. It's absolutely incredible. And a slew of other stats like an ad-free website and our Discord to help you make those decisions as you're making them with an hour before lineups lock. You got to do it. So go to pitchwiz.com/premium, get PL Pro today. And if you sign up for yearly, you can get 15% off with promo code podcast. So make sure you do that. Shane Boz against the Mariners got the win. 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Yes, just 8 whiffs. Yes, 23% CSW. But long story short, he was throwing 98.1 on his four-seamer, not 96, 97, something like that. No, 98. And 2 ticks up on his curveball to 87. And 3 ticks up on the cutter to 93. The changeup was nothing. Changeup was 0, which is kind of hilarious to me. But that's a huge deal. Makes it a lot easier for Boz to get by with these things. And it looked like it also helped the curveball get down, which is huge for him. Yeah, that's been a big problem. And this wasn't Tampa Bay against a really tough offense, the Mariners. So now I'm kind of tempted to start him again in home or in Jarnstein or Brander Park at Tampa Bay in home. At home. Stop saying in home. And it's against the Guardians. So that could work out. It is against more lefties, which might not help him because the curveball is generally better against righties for him. At least he's able to get down more often there. Still, it might be something you want to consider now, especially the velocity 6th round. Oh my gosh. Andrew Alvarez made his MLB debut. This is what happens now. We get all these interesting MLB debuts the end of August, early September, and it was against the Marlins. Does it really feel like a debut if it's against the Marlins? He got a win. Oh my gosh, another overperforming southpaw. 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. It's curves and sliders with more drop than you'd expect. A four-seamer with more drop than you'd expect. The curve and slider were very low to right-handers. He got them down and in, and he had a 27% strike rate on his four-seamer. What? 0% chase rate. he technically had a higher zone rate than strike rate, which is a sign that he got squeezed a little bit, but 31% zone rate. So even if he got all of those, that's still 31% strike rate. I just have to tell you, Andrew Alvarez, yeah, is not the next lefty to go and get. He doesn't have a consistent changeup in there. The four-seamer looks very hittable. He just didn't throw it over the plate. And the curve and slider, yes, those are cool. It was kind of neckbeard in that way, but he gets the Cubs next. I mean, just don't touch Andrew Alvarez. We had a bullpen game for the White Sox against the Twins, so we're moving on there. Hunter Green against the Jays. Ace is going to ace, 99.5 in the fastball. That's cool. On the other side of that was Chris Bassett, 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. And that's great for him. He didn't get a win, which you likely had him in there for, but he didn't hurt you. 117 whiff is the worst thing there. 200 runs, 6 Ks, and you got that quality start. 13 whiffs is cool because he had at least 2 whiffs on 4 pitches. And that is more classic Bassett. Actually, 3 pitches had at least 3 whiffs. The curve also had a 62% strike rate on it. The sinker had 13 called strikes. It was that kitchen sink kind of approach, leading with the sinker. That's what you want to see from Bassett. And he gets the Yankees though on Sunday. I don't really feel like I need to do that with Bassett. I feel like the floor is too low. Kaiwei Teng went into Coors, and he is a breaking ball pitcher. The sweeper and the curveball are going to be a major focus of his approach, and you have mediocre heaters. So what does that mean going into Coors? Well, it's two things. One, it is a right-handed lineup that is so susceptible to those breaking balls down and away, if you can nail those. However, it is Coors, which will make those breaking balls do less. So is that going to be a major factor? We didn't know. Also, Kaiwei Teng doesn't have the most consistent control. If you can get those for strikes, generally that's okay, but he hasn't really been able to do that consistently. And what we got was the better outcome here. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. He was able to get out of those jams, 17 whiffs, and 35% CSW, 4A King Cole. I gave him the gold star for this one because I really didn't expect this to happen. The sweeper had 12 over 41 whiffs. Really promoted that King Cole there. 48% usage, oh my. And the curve, well, it was actually kind of terrible. 4 hits on 13 thrown, just 1 strikeout and 0 outs in play. Now, when the pair are working together, that's good. I don't like the four-seamers at all. He does go into St. Louis next. That is a little bit of a coin flip if the sweeper and the curveball will be effective in the first place. But then it gets a little bit worse considering that the fastballs still are going to be mediocre. So it's not really the kind of play I want to make. If you're chasing strikeouts, think of him a little bit like a Lance McCullers type. It's just not enough for me. Dylan Cease against the Orioles, 4 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 18 whiffs for a gallows pole, but my gosh, you just can't be efficient enough. You always find a way to ruin it. He's such a hipster. He gets Coors and Rocky Road next, and you gotta think, okay, those sliders should just cook in Colorado, right? I hope so, and then he'll get them again. You gotta go with it, but my gosh, Dylan Cease, you're such a headache. Kyle Bradish, very disappointing on the other side. 4 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Not the most disappointing, but you wanted more than this after such an explosive return to the majors. And the good news is that he's sitting 95, because what we normally see in the second game back is a lower velocity without the adrenaline. But nope, he's the same guy. So that's cool. The negative here was that the slider was bad. I mean, the slider wasn't terrible. It just wasn't the focus with the curveball. It was a sub 60% strike rate. And that meant that Kyle Bradish had to throw 2/3 fastballs. No. You should throw under 50% fastballs. So, yeah, that is not fun. However, he gets the Pirates next. And then he gets the Sly Sox. So, fine. I'm all for those two for Kyle Bradish. We're just going to move on from this one. We also had a bullpen game with the Marlins, and I will mention Robbie Snelling could be on the way up soon because you have Ryan Gusto, Jansen Junk, and Edward Cabrera all hurt, with Sandy and Eury as the two regulars. And then you also have Ryan Weathers coming back next week. So you have two open spots there for the Marlins to mess around. Sure, maybe there's an Adam Mazur in there. Maybe you have some Valente Beazo, but why not Robbie Snelling, who's been so good and raised this stuff? plenty this year, made him much better. Yeah, I expect Robbie Snelling to show up, and he might be a very good spec ad right now. All right, we have other guys to talk about from yesterday's games, including Ryan Nelson and Luis Garcia making his return from Tommy John, Brian Bello, Spencer Strider, and so many more. We'll talk about all of those after this break. Ryan Nelson against the Rangers, 6 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. We're fine with this. The curve had 7 over 21 whiffs for 62% strikes. No hits. Maybe this is the number 2? I don't know. At one point, I want Ryan Nelson to be like, yes, I've got it. This is my secondary pitch that you can rely on. I hope so. I hope we get that from Ryan Nelson soon. We're just going to keep starting him for now. Luis Garcia surprised me. 6 innings, 300 runs, only 3 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. That's pretty dang cool in the first start back from Tommy John. Now, 91.4 in the fastball is not very cool, especially in that adrenaline boost that we see in a return. And the cutter was the number 2 pitch at 23% usage. I imagine you're going to see that more in the future. But I do dig that the cutter is there. That was really the pitch for Garcia in the past. At the same time, I expected something else in the secondary department to really stand out, and nothing did. The curve and the sweeper wasn't. The changeup, not really. It's not enough for me to feel like Garcia is ready to go and excellent. And it is a good matchup next at Globe Life Park. Even though I want to call that Arlington forever, it's a great place to pitch. Maybe it's worthwhile just to see how that one goes and to see if something else gets added in. But the lower velocity and the lack of a number 3 has me a little tepid on Luis Garcia. You have Brian Bello with one of his worst starts in a long time against the Guardians in Fenway. He did get the win, but it was 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. He stole a top end Toby. He went against exclusive left-handers, and the fastballs just weren't enough. Fine. He's going to go into Sacrever next, but I think that his schedule is much better after that, and it's worth enduring that one start against the Athletics. You have Spencer Strider against the Cubs. Yeah, it was bad. Just one strike, and how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? From Strider. And honestly, the schedule is just rough. Like, you don't really need to do this, guys. 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 1K. We didn't even get the 17 to 18 inch vert that we saw last time that got me excited, because it was back down to 16 inches here. You don't really need to do it. However, Jacob Mizorowski, you might still want to do. Yes, this was against the Phillies. It wasn't great. 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. If you feel the juice isn't worth the squeeze, I get it. 12 whiffs, 30% CSW, 73 pitches. I have him in the playoffs of my head-to-head league. I am holding on to it for now, but I do understand those who are in 5x5s that are only quality start leagues or points leagues that it's not quite worth it. I'm debating myself if I want to do it. The way I see it is that J. Miz could go 10 strikeouts next time like he did last time for 5 innings and 93 pitches. Also, the matchups do get much better. He gets at Pittsburgh and then St. Louis, and I feel like he's just going to cook. So I can't really move on from that. Colin Ray did not work out well for you against the Atlanta. 4 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Yeah, it's not really that worthwhile, but it is the Nationals and then the Rays and at Cincinnati. So fine, hold on to it. He's a Toby, and do what you need to do. Parker Messick at Fenway did not have the same command that we had the first two starts, so 3.2 innings of 300 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. Very disappointing. However, he goes into Tampa Bay, and that could be much better. I don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm banking on Messick and turning down good streams instead. Bailey Ober against the White Sox, 5 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks, and despite locating his 4-seamer up and changeup down against lefties, he still didn't get a ton of strikes with it. And that 4-seamer was under 90 miles per hour still. At least it wasn't 88.9, but it was 89.9. Still underneath 90. I can't do it. I don't want to hold on to Ober. I don't want to chase this. I didn't have him before. Patrick Corbin against Arizona did not have the same start he did before. Of course he didn't, because Patrick Corbin wasn't really supposed to do him. Okay. Yusei Kikuchi is a hipster. We know this. And yeah, 5.2 innings, 500 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. His fastball and the slider were really good at times and also really bad at times. And the blurst of times and all of that. Kikuchi is not the guy you want to chase, guys. He's a hipster, okay? Luis Castillo is also a bit of a hipster. He's been on the downturn and he went against the Rays in Tampa Bay. 4 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He even had good pitch separation, and it still didn't work out. He has a decent schedule, though, so I understand those who want to hold on to him like a Toby. I'm very anxious starting him. I think that you can do better with streams. Tywin Walker didn't do well against the Brewers because the world finally corrected itself. Sean Manaea is someone you might want to drop, but it is good matchups moving forward. But he's not going even 4 innings here. 3.2 innings of 500 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk in, 6 strikeouts. Man, it is really tough because he's just doing the same thing. 4-seamers and sweepers. He's not really locating them super well, but he's not going 6 innings. Maybe 5. It's really difficult. So it's up to you guys what you want to do there. Go with your gut. I kind of just want to chase something else. Chase DeLander isn't going to be leaving Colorado anytime soon, so you don't want to have him on your team. 600 runs and 5 innings hosting the Giants and Coors. Charlie Morton against the Mets. This was circled to me as the last one before we jump in because, well, the Tigers would be then giving him good starts like the White Sox and then the Marlins. And so he went 3.2 innings of 600 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. And 0.2 innings in one. No, I'm just kidding. The curveball was still good. 40% CSW, so that checks the box. Okay, we should be good. Wait a second. Sawyer Gibson Long is starting today for the Tigers. Don't start him. He's not going to go very long. It's against the Mets. But it does mean he's a six-man, which pushes Morton out of that series against the White Sox. And then he gets the Yankees instead to start next week. So fine, don't go after that. But then go after the Marlins on the Sunday instead. That's the one we really want. And then there's Sonny Gray. He hosted the Athletics. Thought this would be a really good one inside of St. Louis. There's no reason not to. But he's been a cherry bomb. And he's been gray. 3 home runs really did most of the damage. He's going to get the Giants next. Like, there's not much you can do. If you want, you'll get the Brewers twice after that. They're good offense. Maybe you don't want that. Fine. But I feel like you have to hold for the Giants up next. All right, that is it for today. Make sure you go and check out everything we offer with PL Pro at pitcherlist.com/premium and sign up today. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.